Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game at 8:26. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and Mike and Bo spent a good part of their morning checking out the Falcons' opponent for this weekend. But yesterday, Raheem Morris talked with Dukes and Bell about Jeff Ulbrich and how he's getting the most out of our defense.
You started to see it last year with these guys, and you got to give a credit to each individual person as they got better throughout the season. They played a little bit last year as they started to play towards the end of the season. And then when Brick came in, just talked about the relationship that he established with those guys because it starts there first. Nobody cares about how much you know to him, how much you care. He's been able to show those guys how much he cares, how much he cares about these guys. He's been able to bring coaches in here to be able to help, like a Nate Oley, you know, activate and Jockey Smith and really forming those relationships with all those guys being up front, really being able to put it a part of our rush plan and our coverage plan, making it meet together, having those guys go out there and play together, and Brick being able to utilize their tools and everything that they have involved, and some of the stuff that he's brought from the Jets, some of the stuff that they had here, some of the stuff he's involved with other people. You can't say enough about the more open-mindedness of Brick or the open-mindedness of our guys. It's been one nice, happy marriage, so to speak, as you've been looking at the progress.
I think the marriage of Nate Oley and Jeff Ulbrich as far as coaching, and Nate Oley being able to coach the guys up front, the Dorlesses, the Rooks, Zach Harrisons, in unison with what Ulbrich is wanting to do as far as the attacking style defense, Nate. I think Nate Oley might go as the under. I'm glad that Rob mentioned him, and that is going to go under the radar. I think there's no doubt the brains behind the entirety of what they're doing is Jeff Ulbrich, but I think he needs guys at each level that really help him. And I think Barrett Rudd is still our linebackers coach.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to just look right here and tell you. And he is, but I think Ulbrich was part of that too. But like, you've got Jerry Gray in the back half, and you've got guys like Nate Oley. And I'm not going to mention every coach, but those are the three main guys. With Ulbrich's vision, they are in unison with what he wants to do, and it's so impressive because Ulbrich's ultimately coming up with he's putting together the main plan from each position. But just go look at a guy like, I just named a couple, but go look at a guy in the back end like D. Offord. He was being ran out of town last year, and through the first five games, he's the MVP of the secondary, and the reason he is because he came in the middle for half of the Minnesota game and did his job and didn't there were no busts or no big plays. The one bust when he came in wasn't even on him. It was on Watts with Jefferson at the end of the first half. And then he basically shut down Teteroa McMillan for the most part. Then he's, he does a good job in Washington against the Washington team. And then boom, AJ's back. But now Bowman's out. So, hey, you got to go from playing on the outside back to the nickel position.
Yeah.
And
the glorified linebacker, like Mike Hughes told us back in training camp.
Yeah. And Mike, if I read this stat line from the secondary, six tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, an interception, three pass breaks up, and a quarterback hit, and I said, name the player, D. Offord would not have been your first,
I wouldn't
second,
have thought it was anybody in the
choice.
Secondary, I can tell you that.
There you go.
Yeah. He also, and I just real quick, because you mentioned a couple of the assistant coaches, he went out of his way when you and Arch talked to him to mention Jerry Gray in that post-game interview. And I thought that was a cool shout-out because I do think a lot of things of this defense are starting to come together. And I mentioned it earlier, when you look at the way they match up against San Francisco's offense, I think San Francisco's offense has struggled to run the ball. It has become much more gap scheme dependent than most Shanahan offenses have been in the past. And we heard Ulbrich talk about that earlier. But I think they're going to light it up defensively and try to pressure whoever's playing quarterback a ton. I was reading earlier and looking back on it, Brock Purdy, because he hasn't played a ton, but he's been pressured a league low 15% on his passes. And it's crazy to think because against pressure, he has not been good. I think he's completing only 50% of his balls, and he's got three interceptions when he's been pressured. So I think that they're going to go back to the well. I mentioned earlier, our blitz rate is the highest in the league right now as far as defenses go, and I think that that speaks to what Olbrich wants to do with this unit. I actually think for all Shanahan brings to the table, it's a decent matchup for us in terms of the front seven.
Yeah, the only thing that – I won't say only thing, but the thing that scares you the most with Kyle Shanahan is finding something you do successfully and then creating an unscouted look out of it. So, you know, I go back to when he was here in 16, and I can't remember what game it was, but they basically sent Austin Hooper in, like, what was essentially, I think it was Austin Hooper, like a wheel route down the sideline. And Matt rolls all the way to his right. Everything moved to the right of the play. And then he stops and chunks it downfield, and the tight end standing there, like at the 3 yard line, catches it, walks in the end zone, and it was basically what it was they had ran this play, the Falcons had ran the play every time. It was always to the right side, and it was basically the same play, and they leaked Hooper out down the sideline. I think it was Hooper, and it turned into what the defense would call an unscouted look, and you're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah,
that's what scares you about Shanahan.
Well, and it goes back to the conversations we've had a million times about Zach Robinson. And obviously, we're talking about our defense against their offense right now. But you want to see more unscouted looks. And I thought that Zach Robinson did a good job the other night of coming out in the unscouted Bijan motion looks that he went all the way down the field.
That orbit thing where he would start on the right side and then orbit around.
Yeah.
I mean, had you seen that at all this year?
I don't think so. And I tried to think about this. And look, it's not like you and I sit here and chart every single play that we watch on film, but we do watch the tape. I don't think that I've seen that look. Maybe one other time have we seen that look with maybe him and Algier on the field, but never with him and Charlie Warner.
You know, I think they did it with a receiver. I think, like, Ray ran that.
Yeah, I believe so, too.
But that's it. I felt like they used it a ton. They even used Algier in it, where he hands the ball to Algier in the last drive, that one play where
they did. Yep, they put him in the Bijan spot, get Bijan a little air. I want to hit two more stats here because I know we're kind of wrapping up on our stuff about the defense. We've talked about being the second ranked in yards per game or whatever else it is, points per game. That they're one of the top ranked defenses. A couple that I think are more indicative of how good this defense is. How about this? Fourth in the NFL in yards per possession. So they're only giving up 24.9 yards every time the other team gets the football on average. That's fourth in the NFL. So you want to talk about matchups, run game, pass game, quarterbacks, whatever else it may be, that's a really good one. Also, they have only allowed touchdowns on 18% of the opponent's drives. That's sixth in the NFL right now. Sixth in the NFL. It's good stuff.
You got your chart in front of you?
Yeah.
So our charts that we got for my spotter chart that I use for Wes, and it's got some information on it, but it's got some stats on it for Falcons. I don't ever recall seeing this much green, which means you're leading a category in the league on the Falcons' defensive side.
No, I can tell you for sure that that's not usually a thing. It's just not.
There's like there's only like 12 categories. Maybe 13, and there's like 9 of them that are highlighted in green for the Falcons.
Are you shocked that they're not at least a little bit higher in yards per carry for opposing offenses? They're 27th in the league at 4.8.
I guess no, I don't know. It's weird for me because I think they've done a good job at times at bottling, and then there's the first half they bottled the Bills' run game up pretty well, and then the third quarter they got gashed for I bet they ran the ball like 8 times and all of them went for 7 yards or more.
It felt like it.
And so it like bloats that number up. But I don't know. That's a weird one. That's a tough to answer because I want to say I am, but then again, I remember that even that there are times where we feel like we did a good job bottling and it's still 3 yards, 2 to 3 yards, and then you just see it. But I mean, you know, on the flip side, I'm actually surprised. You look at the fact that we're only averaging 4.8, and it fills with games like we had against Minnesota and then last week against Buffalo where we're just running for 200 yards. It feels low because we do lead the league in rushing offensively, which is, you know, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I do want to mention tomorrow, we want you to come out to McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers for a special edition of The Morning Shift. We'll be having breakfast, previewing the weekend's big college and pro football action. You can join us. It's tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. at McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers. And coming up, so I know we've been talking about maybe so-and-so will play with the quarterback spot. It's uncertain, but I'm curious who you both would rather see. I'll ask you that next. And we've got a life of squid.
Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon had a press conference the other day, and he said something that hit very close to home. And I'll tell you why next. Morning Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.